Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday afternoon, and this is Pause IM Radio. We're excited to be on the air and hosted by Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for today's program are Robert Brining and Jeremy Dunn. We'll be taking your calls and speaking with our featured member of the week. We encourage all of our listeners to phone in and share some of your life experiences. The number to call is 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause IM Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm your host, Robert. I'm joined by my co-host, Jeremy. How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah. Still have that afternoon jingle up. It's afternoon somewhere, right?
Oops. Something just... Okay, never mind. But, well, I'm sorry.
Okay, it's afternoon somewhere.
It is afternoon someplace. It's 6 in the afternoon or 6 in the evening out on the West Coast. And then if you... Well, it's 3 o'clock in Hawaii. There you go.
There you go.
It's
that's
3
where,
in the afternoon
that's where
in
I'm
Hawaii.
At today. I did. But anywho, how you been, man?
You know, I've been pretty good. This week has been busy. I get my stitches out of my knee tomorrow. Wahoo.
That's good.
So that's always a good thing. I'm off the crutches, so I can walk on my own 2 feet.
I'm sure Mark's happy about that.
Yeah, because I'm not chasing him around with the crutch anymore, you know, going, get back over here, clean this up. No, actually, he actually does that to me because I'll come in and I'll just throw stuff all over the place and, you know, so I got to hide the crutches so he doesn't, you know, use them on me.
So today we're going to touch a little bit on the news, I mean the news, and Jeremy's going to take care of that. And then later on we're going to speak about the Philadelphia AIDS Walk and about AIDS walks in general. Today was the Philadelphia AIDS Walk, and we had a Pause IM team that, you know, I formed there, and we all walked together. There was 4 of us members, so it was kind of cool, but we had a group of about 10 of us. But it was really cool, interesting, so we'll talk about that. We'll take calls from people who are listening. And Jeremy, you can start off with the news if you want.
Okay,
if you got
well, I guess, what do I got for you? Well, we've got a couple of things that are going on. In South Africa, they've named I'll get back to that one. Can you tell I'm so not a news person.
Moving right along.
I would get fired off the news. I can barely read them. But one story that is pretty interesting that I thought I would talk about is in St. Louis, some teenagers, some high school students, turned up as being HIV positive, and they sent out a notice to all the parents in the school district, notifying that there was an exposure and asking for students to come in and get tested. They notified about the parents of about 1,300 students, and this was at Normandy High School, and this happened on Wednesday, all the kids that have come up positive are at risk, or in at-risk groups. And so what's interesting is that it's high school students, you know, having unprotected sex, doing drugs, all of these things that we've been talking about, and we've been a lot of us in the community have been saying, hey, it's happening in schools. Hello, we need more education out there. We need to talk to our schools. And it turns out that Normandy High School in St. Louis County, this is St. Louis, Missouri, they've gotten several kids that tested positive for the virus. So it's that to me is a wake up call that we're just not doing enough out there.
So it all started with one kid, right? Is that's what I got out of it, right? It started with one person who tested positive, and then
several at one time that tested positive, all from the same school. So it's one would be expected, but one would be more than enough, but there were many. There were several who were tested positive. So there's that story in the news. And let's see, what else? I think that's...
What do you think about that, Jeremy? I don't mean to cut you off, but what do you think about that? Do you think that the school had a right to do that?
To notify?
To notify every parent?
Well, what they did is they notified told the parents that their kids may have been exposed to HIV. So, and that's, what do I think about that?
So
I don't think, they're not naming names. They're not saying so-and-so told so-and-so, or this person is and that person is. I think the school is doing the right thing by notifying the parents so they can educate their kids. You can't just keep it under wraps. I mean, it's a public school, so they would probably, I would think they would need to know.
Right, and young people who are out there having unprotected sex need to get tested sooner anyway.
Well,
that's like kind of like a really good incentive, and it gives actually the parents a good bridge to their kids on how to have this communication about HIV and AIDS.
And it's not just the unprotected sex. You know, I want to stress here that these are at-risk youth. So we're talking not just unprotected sex, but we're talking hardcore drug use in some of these schools. We're talking really risky behaviors that some of these kids are they are taking part in. So that's the message that has to get out. That
right.
It's not adults, it's teenagers, it's kids. And I think we talked a little bit about this either last week or a couple of weeks ago, about kids, you know, having sex and having babies at an early age. And this just keeps proving our point over and over and over again, that more testing has to be done, more education has to be done, and we have to be able to talk openly and honestly about it.
Absolutely. More people need to share their story, Jeremy, kind of like we do. You know, the best way that they can, I think, with more people sharing it, it'll definitely educate, you know what I mean, the youth that's out there now.
Well, it doesn't just stop, sharing the stories is absolutely important, but it's also breaking down I'm beginning to sound like a broken record, but it's breaking down that wall of stigma, that shame that goes along with it. Because when, you know, they're hiding their activities, they're sneaking out and doing things, making uninformed decisions, and they need, and I think teenagers need to be able, should be able to go to their parents or go to an adult without fear of judgment or persecution, you know, that they won't get in trouble. So that's what we need to do.
Right. Kids have to be, willing to talk.
I'm sorry, I missed that part.
No, I said the kids have to be willing to talk, but, you know, so do the parents, too. A lot of the parents approach it with fear.
Well,
like,
and,
you know, we don't want to talk about sex.
It's not
drugs.
That, but it's not just the fear, not wanting to talk about it, but also ensuring that the kid isn't going to get in trouble for it. You know, you don't punish them for coming to you and looking for answers and looking for help and looking for guidance. There should be, you shouldn't punish them for that. We should encourage that. We should say, look, if you're going to do it, you know, let's help you make informed decisions. I think that's my point.
Yeah, well, if your kid's going to come and talk to you about it, you know what I mean, obviously he's, well, she is already out there possibly even doing it. So it's kind of I think as, I'm not a parent, so I can't really say, but I think as parents, they should really, yeah, like you said, not punish them, like be more encouraging about, oh, wow, you're coming to talk to me instead of me coming to you. You know,
right.
Kids grow up so fast nowadays, it's ridiculous.
And it's tough. I think it would be really, really tough to be a parent in today's world. And I mean, there's just so much going on out there. There's so many outward influences, I mean, that affect kids every day and that affect their decision making. So there's some interesting there's a lot of interesting aspects to the whole story, but I thought that particular story was, as a matter of fact, I even threw it out on my blog because I thought it was noteworthy just because so many kids tested positive that they decided to let the entire school know that, hey, you know, we've got this exposure and we want your kids to be tested.
Terry,
so,
makes a good point. In the chat room, he says, do parents know how to talk to their kids about HIV if they don't know it enough for themselves?
And again, I don't want to limit it just to HIV. It's not just HIV. It's also about sex.
I think he meant in that particular.
Responsible, you know, it's about informed decision-making. That's what it's about. It's about being able to empower a teenager to make responsible and informed decisions about their lives. Not just, you know, it's not just the HIV. The HIV, and let me say this before so you know where I'm going with this. HIV is the byproduct of the actions that these teenagers of the behaviors that these teenagers partake in, it's focusing on those behaviors and then focusing and then trying to educate them on the behavior that could lead them down the road of catching, of contracting HIV, of contracting hepatitis C, of contracting other sexually transmitted infections. It's the behaviors that we need to focus on, and I don't think we do. That we do a very good job of it. And the global we, I'm talking, you know, society. I'm talking about our communities. We don't do a very good job of discussing these behaviors. We're letting the kids go out there and fend for themselves, and then when they do come back and they do say, "Hey, I just had sex with someone." We decide to punish them for it, and not actually talk about it. So it turns into a double-edged sword. We want them to come talk to us, but then we punish them for doing it.
I know what I
do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean it does make sense in some. Some parents do act like that, but I remember I went and talked to my mom the first time about, you know, and believe it or not, I went to my mom and not my dad. I was a mama's boy. But I remember talking to my mom about it, and, like, she didn't respond in a negative way. She was more of a, you know, let me explain things to you before you go any further. So, you know, I mean, some people, I guess, get punished, but I know in my experience, I didn't. Thank God.
I think we have to discuss all the possible outcomes that come with having sex and come with going through those, you know, making choices that we make. That every choice that we make is a choice that we're going to have to live with for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
And teenagers don't get that opportunity. They don't get that kind of direction, and they don't get that kind of they don't receive that from the adults that they are around. And that's, you know, we want to stop it before it gets to HIV. We want to stop it before it gets any further than that. So we have to be able to, we can't punish them for being teenagers.
Right.
So we're already at a quarter past. So I won't bore us anymore on that.
You don't have another good one, a real quick one? No,
not really. And
okay, that's fine.
It will hit me when I figure out what it was that South Africa did. I can't remember what it was. They got somebody. Well, the crux of this is South Africa finally admits after, I think it was about 10 years or something like that, South Africa finally admitted that HIV causes AIDS. Because they have a new leadership through the, I can't remember what the government agency is, but so that's big news. That South Africa is finally admitting the truth behind HIV and AIDS. So that was the crux of the story, but I couldn't remember. They replaced the
Prime Minister.
Dude. What's that?
Prime Minister.
I can't remember if it was a Prime Minister or what it was, but I'll figure it out.
We'll wrap around back to it if we have to.
Yes, we will.
So the other thing we wanted to touch on today's show was about AIDS walks and why they're so important and, you know, where the money goes. A lot of people are concerned of, you know, where the money ends up when they're doing these walks and raising, you know, the awareness and the funds for these walks. And today we actually had the Philadelphia AIDS Walk. And actually, if you're in the chat room now, you can actually scroll down and click on Unruly Girl, which is Linda, and you will see a picture of the four PosIM members who were on the Philadelphia AIDS Walk today. And it starts with Tracy on the left, who's my friend, Linda on the left, who's my friend, and Teresa on the right of me, who is also my friend. And I met, you know, Teresa for the first time today, and it was amazing. It was like such a great thing to go down there and meet, you know, Linda and Tracy and just walk with everybody and be like, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't really know each other, but like now we're a family because we were walking together. We raised close, I think when it came to the end, we raised close to like $900 for, you know, between the four of us, which was pretty cool.
Eight and a half
miles. I'm telling you that my feet are killing me. I had an hour of sleep last night. You know, by the end of the walk, I was like, oh, my God. And I just can't wait to sit on my couch and watch Desperate Housewives. Because the show comes on every week. Yeah, it's being TV'd. But it was just very interesting to meet, you know, people email you and they say, you know, how much they enjoyed the site. But it's just nice to meet somebody off of the site and do something positive like going on the AIDS walk and mm-hmm. just representing. I had the PosIM shirt that I had on, same one I wore last year. And actually today, to the day, is a year that actually the PosIM community has been up.
A
Today's
year?
Today's the anniversary. Yeah, 1 year.
Wow, happy anniversary.
Thanks.
Wow, that's pretty nifty.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Yeah, it's when I launched it last year, so I had my little business cards. I only handed out like three of them, but I just started walking and just kept walking. It was so cold, Jeremy. It was so cold.
Oh, really?
It was freezing. I had my one tough pirate hoodie on, then my PosIM shirt on top of it, and then I took it off and put just the shirt on because I was sweating, and then I was freezing, and then I was sweating. It was a boot. It was a hoop, but I'm gonna post up some pictures. Linda already did on the Paz IM community from the walk in.
Oh, great!
It's very interesting.
So, how many people showed up to this today?
I would say there was more this year than last year, and last year there was 15,000.
15,000.
So 15,000. So I'm guessing this year I would say there is probably close to maybe 18,000.
15,000 to 18,000 people.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it
went
so many people.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
That's
there's
a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I was so mad because I was the team captain, so I got my little AIDS walk hat, the captain
uh-huh.
hat. And I had to stand in line to check the team in, and I was standing there, and I was like, we waited forever in the line to check in. I finally got up, and there was one girl in front of me, and the girl in front of me had, like, 30 envelopes with donations, and they had to do it all individually. I was man. I sat there for like 20 minutes trying to meet everybody. We were late. We were supposed to meet people at 7 a.m. I ended up not getting there until like 8, 8:30. I was so embarrassed. Poor Linda was sitting there at 7 o'clock waiting for us. Teresa actually came down, and she had, I believe it was her two daughters. I'm not sure. Her two daughters and her three grandchildren came and walked. And the one boy walked the whole entire walk with us.
Wow.
It was so cool. And he didn't complain one bit about his feet or anything because they have little poop-out buses that you can get on, little yellow buses when you're tired and don't want to walk anymore. At certain stops, you get on and it takes you back to the beginning. We were debating on going on at the last mile. We were like, oh, come on. It's the last poop-out bus. It was funny. It was funny.
Oh, well. So how much money do you guys think the walk raised?
That I am not sure. I don't know. I actually was looking online today right before I called into the show to see if I could find a total, but I'm guessing they probably won't have it for like a week or two. Usually they'd announce it, but I didn't hear any kind of announcement this year.
Okay.
But then again, right after the walk, I left.
Oh, okay. So
yeah,
did they have any – what's that?
I had to run to work, so I had to drive all the way up to Bordentown.
Did they have any guest speakers or anything like that?
No, in the beginning when we first got there, well, not when I first got there, but when we were supposed to first get there at 7 o'clock in the morning, they started at 7:30 team photos, and they did the calling of the names of people who passed away from HIV and AIDS, and they just read off names, and they go down. The names lasted, I would say, for at least an hour they were reading names
mm-hmm.
of people who passed. They had the AIDS quilt all out. And it was cool because I went last year, and there was different parts of the quilt that were there this year than last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool that they rotated in and out, and you get to, you know, see different parts and read people's stories on the quilt. It was really touching. At one point, I almost brought a tear to my eye. There was one there with a baby. And it's sad that little kids, you know, have to deal with the situation that us adults find so hard to deal with. But it was fun. It was a hoot. And if anybody's out there and would like to call in, let me just shoot the number out to you. The number is 347-215-9442. Call in, ask me and Jeremy a question about anything you want, right? Make a comment.
I'll tell you. Call in. I will say that I think the AIDS walk here,
mm-hmm.
it was... When was it? August. And I think they got about 150 to 200 people to show up here in Charlotte.
Is that a small, like, suburban city?
Charlotte?
Yeah, I've never been there. Is it like a city? Like, I don't know.
It's a city. We have, what is it? 1 point.
But is it like where you, like, go into town and stuff?
I think there's a little over a million people in Charlotte,
in the whole
Charlotte area. But in Charlotte uptown, I live in the actual heart of Charlotte. This is where the Bank of America headquarters is, Wachovia headquarters. So we have a pretty big banking presence here in Charlotte. And It depends on where you're at. Oh, Charlotte AIDS Walk had 2,000 people and raised $250,000. I just got handed the note. I thought it was less than that. So 2,000 people and they raised $250,000. And I think it was in August. So I've been to some AIDS Walks where, you know, few people show up and then they raise tons of money, and then where they have lots of people show up and they don't raise as much money. So I look forward to the day where we don't have to have them anymore.
Yeah, right. I agree to that. As much as I enjoy, actually, you know what? In the weirdest way, I don't want to have them, but I actually enjoy them. Like last year was the first one that I ever went to. And
oh, really?
I always had an issue with it. And then all of a sudden when I had this awakening and decided to do this website, I just was like, you know what, I'm going to go on the AIDS Walk. And I went there, and, like, that's where I started getting the word out with my crappy business cards then, and you know what I mean? And I felt comfortable. I was around people that would accept me, even if my shirt said Paz I Am on it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And people would come up and ask me things. So it was just, I enjoy the company of walking and seeing people. I mean, there were so many kids, like, squads of cheerleaders are walking up and down this walk. I mean, there were so many high school kids and younger kids that were there walking with their mother or father, and it was such a great thing. People have their dogs. I mean, there were so many people. We were halfway at the halfway mark, like 4.5 miles, and I turned around and there were still loads of people behind us, and it was just such a great feeling to know that they're all out there walking. You know what I mean? So we have, you know what I mean, more education and more funds to help us out. It's amazing. I think it's an
great,
amazing thing.
Now, who sponsored the Philadelphia AIDS Walk this year?
Oh, my God. You want a list? And the third one, to name a few, Walgreens, Starbucks, the AIDS Fund, just Trader Joe's.
Wow. So they have some big corporate sponsors. That's
yeah.
good. That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah,
and who does the money go to?
The money itself, hold on, I have it right here in front of me. AIDS Fund partners with 30 local organizations that benefit from the money raised on the Philadelphia AIDS Walk. The money is used for HIV, AIDS prevention and education, direct care services, counseling and testing, medical care, and public awareness efforts, all in the Philadelphia area.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. What else was I going to ask you? There's something else I was going to ask you about it. So about 18,000 people, that's amazing. That would be pretty stunning just to stand there and see the sea of people.
It was like a flow, like a wave of people just walking.
Wow. And where did the walk go? Where did it start and where did it end? For some of the – since I'm not very familiar with Philadelphia, so –
It started at the Art Museum steps, where you may know, probably seen from the Rocky movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Where he runs up the steps. It started there, and we walked all the way down Kelly Drive, where people might be familiar with Boathouse Row, which is, Kelly Drive. So we walked all the way down there, and then we crossed the bridge, and then walked all the way down the other side. And it was a total of, like, 8.5 miles.
Wow.
But it's great,
wow.
Like, at the end, you're getting there, people are holding up signs, congratulations, you finished. There's this mother there, oh, it was so touching. She had a picture of her son who passed away from AIDS. And she's like, thank you for walking for us, thank you for walking for my son. It means until there's a cure. And it was just, like, so touching to see her holding that sign. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, I was thinking, I hope my mother never has to hold that sign up for me. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's
yeah.
like, it was so... I couldn't imagine it. But it was so touching just to have all the cheerleaders, and then they had drag queens and little cheerleading outfits, and it was so cute. It was really, really cool.
Wow. Wow. I just, that's a lot of people. I remember, I can remember going to my first AIDS walk, and it was in Los Angeles, and God, I can't remember the year. What year was it? I can't remember, it was in the 90s, and I can remember that it was like, how many people got it? It was hundreds of thousands of people that showed up. And it was, that was truly amazing. And just to see all of those people around, and God, that, just that whole, it was right after Pedro Zamora died, actually, I think. Right around that time. But it's an amazing feeling to be a part of something like that, you know?
It is. It's very powerful to walk that walk, and at the end you're like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, it, we just made a difference, and we just walked and killed our legs. Linda's thighs are killing her.
I bet. I bet.
But for people who are listening, but Pedro Zamora is the gentleman you may know from Real World. Where was it?
Where?
Do you remember? San Francisco. And he was the gay guy on there who, I don't want to say, well, he was HIV positive, and he was open about it and his relationship on the show. And it was very, very, it was very touching. That was like one of the first ones I remember watching. And I just remember, like, that guy was so, he was so brave.
Yeah, he think, did a lot for, he did so much for just to get it out, you know, get awareness out and talk about it openly and honestly. And he did so, so much. It's just an amazing, he was an amazing, just an amazing thing.
Yeah, people can just go on YouTube and type in Pedro MTV or Pedro HIV, and it'll come up. I mean, there's videos of him speaking, and there's one, like a tribute to him, I believe, that was made, it may have been actually by MTV, I'm not sure. But
yeah, I think it was.
And all the cast members were, I think, speaking about how they affected his life. And the one guy, I don't remember his name, I want to say his name may be Greg or Craig. I really don't remember the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually wrote a book about, you know, how meeting Pedro changed his life.
Wow.
And that's, I mean, that's what it is. People, Jeremy, like you and me and Bob, who are out there, thriving out there, you know what I mean, to change people's lives. And I think it's a great thing that we do here, if I must say so myself. You know, it's really interesting. I had an interview earlier today with Kevin, the gay life coach, who's a member of the Pazan community and has his own show on Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, I mean, he just did nothing but rave about the site and how it's really cool. He's like, I joined, he goes, and like Terry, he goes, and Cowboy Larry, he goes, and Linda, he goes, all these people comment me, he goes, and I love it. He goes, I don't get this much love on MySpace. You know what I mean? He's like, these people, he's like, they're amazing. Where do you find them at? I go, good people attract good people. I don't know. They just come. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, these people, you know what I mean, believed in what I saw, and they helped make my vision come true by part of it. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah,
that's right. You had an interview today, didn't you?
Yeah, I had an interview with him. Yeah, we were talking about the stigma and the gay community and the importance of. He asked about the AIDS walk and then the different things like that. The one thing he asked me, he's like, "Do you think that there's something that we could do to end the stigma forever? Like, do you see yourself living in a world where there was no HIV stigma at all?"
Good question. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think if we can embrace it ourselves, those of us who are infected, and those of us who are affected, I think if we can embrace it and talk about it, I think eventually, yeah, we will live in a world without stigma and shame around it. But we have to be just open about it and talk about the facts of HIV. I mean, it's not just it's a huge global pandemic. It's an epidemic. It's huge. I do have hope that one day that we will live in a world without HIV stigma.
Well, I don't want to know if you have hope. I want to know if you think that it could actually happen. I mean, I have hope for it, but do you think it could actually happen?
I think it can actually happen if we continue fighting it and just being honest about it and not hiding in the shadows and acting like it's something that it's a nasty disease that we can't discuss openly. Yeah, I mean, look at cancer. People didn't talk about cancer, you know, in the open way back when. You know, I think all diseases take time. I think we will live. I think we will see a day.
I think that's what he wanted me to say.
What's that?
I said, I think that's what he wanted me to say.
Who?
Kevin, when he asked me that.
Oh.
He wanted me to say something, you know what I mean, about that. And I mean, and I'm not trying to be confrontational, but I said that I don't think that it's possible because there's always going to be somebody who's either afraid or is going to hate it, just like as if it was racism. There's always going to be somebody. We're never going to live in a world where it's not racism. You know what I mean? It's just,
mm-hmm.
To me, I mean, and I told him, I go, to me, it's just something that I experienced that I think. I was like, but I mean, I still have hope for it, and I still want it to happen. I just don't know if I can see it happening.
Well, we got to be the change. We got to be the change that we want, right?
The more people hear our stories, the more they'll change, right?
That's right. Got to be the change that we want to see. So.
But I think I caught him
off
guard, and I didn't mean to, and I was just like, oh, I'm sorry, I was just giving an opinion, but I have hope. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want this to happen, but...
I mean, it's just, you know, look at almost 30 years ago. God, has it been that long? That they didn't even, you know, the president didn't even say the word AIDS.
Right.
It took him almost 8 years to even say the word. So I think we're finally getting to a point where, you know, we can talk about it, we can be a little bit more open about it, and I think the more we are open and the more we do talk about it, I think one day, maybe not in my lifetime, but one day.
Right, let's hope so. It'd always be a good thing.
I think it would be, yeah. So so if anybody else wants to call in and chat with us, call us 347-215-9. And it's okay to call.
I think you cut out there. I didn't hear you a little bit. The phone number is 347-215-9442. I think for some reason, did you like step away from the phone for a minute?
No.
Like reach for something? Or were you kind of like faded out for a second?
Nope. I was right here.
So he asked me, the other thing that he asked is how would you approach somebody who's new coming into the scene who wants to end stigma? And of course it caught me off guard, the questions that he was asking, because I wasn't expecting these certain questions, you know what I mean? And I was like, the best thing that I would preach to anybody is love. Unconditional love is one thing that will end stigma for me.
Yeah.
It'll end a lot of things, actually.
Gosh, what would I say to someone?
Yeah, I know he asked me that on air. I'm like, I gotta think a minute.
I think what I would tell someone, quite honestly, is it's part of the human condition. It's a part of part of our life. And it's a fact of life. So it's, you know, accept the person for the person. You know, I'm a person first. I have HIV second.
Right.
You know, I'm always the same person. My personality doesn't change. The person that I am doesn't change. Just because I happen to have a virus floating around in my bloodstream doesn't change who I am. Accept the person for who they are. Look past the disease and look into the person. I think that's what I would tell someone.
Good answer.
Of course it is.
You're something else.
What's that?
I said you're something else.
But it, you know, it is just look. Unfortunately, there are folks out there who can't see past, you know, the big A, the big H. They can't see past it, so they never see the person. They only see the disease. Same with racism. They can't see past the color of someone's skin to see the person. Or with, you know, homophobia. They can't see the past of the fact somebody's gay. We have to be able to look past those things. To be able to see the person inside. And that's what we have to drive to.
Right. Kind of goes hand in hand with unconditional love, but you just said it a little more fancy.
A little more fancy.
A little twist on it. Oh, man.
Oh, gosh. Goodness. So what else was your day like?
After the walk, Linda and I drove to Bordentown, New Jersey. Her sister actually picked us up, and my partner had an event, so I had to go there and work his event. And then after the event, I came home and scarfed down a cheesesteak with my mom and my partner, and then had the interview, and then that ended at 8 o'clock, and then I had about, you know, 45 minutes to get ready before I logged on here and, you know, got everything going. And bad thing is I had 1 hour of sleep last night, and I was up at 5:30 this morning.
Ugh.
So I'm
you only
empty.
Have an hour of sleep. What were you doing up till 4:30 in the morning?
I couldn't sleep. I was so anxious and excited to meet these people that I couldn't sleep. I was like a little kid going to a birthday party. I couldn't sleep. I was so excited to get down there and just bond with these people that I've met online, and it was just like such an experience. It was really cool.
I think that's funny. I can't sleep. Oh my gosh.
Are you kidding?
I would have taken two sleep. What's that?
No, if I would have took two sleeping pills or a swig of NyQuil, I would have slept until about 11 and woke up and the walk would have been over.
So how long was the walk? It was 8.5 miles. How long did it actually last? 2 hours?
Last year, me and Tracy walked it with a couple of my soccer friends, so we were a little faster walking.
Uh-huh.
And we did it in 2 hours, and I think today we did it, and we had kids walking with us, so we were kind of slower than the usual.
Uh-huh.
And
Linda slowed you down, didn't she?
A little bit, Linda, Teresa. No, I mean, everybody, we all took breaks the entire. But I would say about 3 hours, 3.5 hours, I think.
That's not bad.
It was longer. Oh, it's so tiring.
So how many people finished the entire route?
I don't know. I don't know exactly how many people actually took the poop bus back.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, as far as I could see, I would say more than 75% of the people finished.
Great.
Yeah, people were just walking. People, because they do a run before, the same route. Actually, I think it's a little bit longer, because I think that's 10 miles. They do a 10-mile run first, and then they run, and then they do bikes, and then we do the walk.
Oh, so they do a run.
They do
bike,
a run.
And then walk. It's like a triathlon. Oi.
Right?
I would have gotten like 2 miles, and I would have had to have an ambulance carry me away. I mean, okay, take me away.
I looked
I'm
over.
I'm so
and
out of shape.
I looked over, and this one gentleman had a cane, and he was walking with a cane, and I said, I am not going to complain for the rest of this walk. If this man can walk out there with a cane, and my father grew up, and he had a cane all his life, and I know that you can't move fast when you're walking with a cane, and depending on it. And this
right.
man was walking. I was like, my mouth shut. I'm not saying another word for the whole time.
Wow.
I just it's very humbling to see people who are grandparents and just walking this walk. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all different ages, all different races, all you know what I mean? Just everybody walking.
Everybody coming together for a common cause.
And it affects everyone. Doesn't matter what you
yeah.
look like or female, male, whatever, gay, straight. Everybody's affected. So, I mean, it
yeah.
just proved that. And it just made me feel so good that I lived in Philadelphia. And I'm sure most of the people lived in Philadelphia or close by, but they all came out for that. And that was just made me feel good to live in this area and have that kind of support from people I don't
mm-hmm.
even know.
Wow. Yeah, I'm like one of the most unathletic people you'll ever meet. And golly, one of the Denver AIDS blogs I went on, I think – we walked around a park, and that was it. It was one lap around the park, and that was it. It was less than 3 miles, I think. But it wasn't the length of the walk, but it was definitely the camaraderie that you got with the people that were there,
mm-hmm.
And the stories that we listened to, I sat on. I can remember just sitting there on the lawn, listening to a few people and talking about their stories, and it was pretty amazing. And that's just how everybody had a similar story. You know, living with, affected by, and, you know, it's just, it hits home constantly. Well, of course, you know, living with it, but it's, and this is going to, it's bittersweet. It's bittersweet to know that there are other people out there that I'm not the only one, that we're not the only ones, because sometimes, you know, sometimes I feel like, gosh, I wish I were the only one, and then nobody would have to deal with it. And then most of the time it's like, thank God I'm not the only one. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
Like,
I
sit there, I go, and I'm like, oh, I wish the community would get bigger. And then I'm like, oh, no, I don't. I don't want it to get bigger and get more people infected. You know what I mean? Like, I want it, but I don't want it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, oh, God, you know, what did I just say? But I think what it is we want people to accept us.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I want. You know, it's not that I want more HIV-positive people. That's not at all. I think I want more HIV-tolerant people, folks who will accept me for who I am, and not be afraid of me, and I think that's what one. I think that's what that these AIDS walks give us is that sense of that there are people around who do care about us, who will take us into the fold and will take us under their arms, and at the same time, it shines a light on the reality of living with HIV. It's not always pleasant. It's not, you know, and for some, it's not a walk in the park, pardon the pun, but it's very, very difficult.
Right.
And you know, we have to put the seriousness, you know, and the reason why I'm bringing this up and I don't want to get too political here, but I wrote a blog that is titled, I Can't Afford a John McCain. And regardless of party affiliation, John McCain's health care plan would alienate most of us that are HIV positive because of our pre-existing conditions. His health care plan would tax employer-provided health care benefits. So, in other words, I have employer-provided, partially provided health care benefits because I have to pay a portion of the premium for me. So, and the benefit that is provided by the employer would be then taxed as income. My income, my net, then goes down, and my income taxes go higher. He would then say, okay, we're going to tax you there, but if you want to drop your employer's plan, we're going to give you a $5,000 tax credit. Big whoop. Most insurance plans are anywhere between $12,000 and $15,000 a year for the premium.
Right.
So $5,000 and the individual doesn't get the $5,000. It goes directly to whoever the insurance company is that you pick. So they're going to take that $5,000 and just give it to the insurance company. You don't see it. But yet you'll get taxed on. So, you know, they've got you coming and going. So,
yeah.
You know, we can either fix the health care today or we can continue down this road. And I don't want to get, you know, like I said, but the reason why I bring this up is because those of us with HIV and those folks with other pre-consistent, but since the show's focused on HIV and that's what we talk about, I'm going to be selfish here. Those of us with HIV would be left without health care to fend for ourselves. Not just the premiums, which are $12,000 to $15,000 or more a year, depending on the coverage you pick, but also the medications that we're on. Without insurance, my meds would cost somewhere around altogether about $60,000 a year.
Wow.
I can't afford $60,000 a year. There's some medications out there that are up in the hundreds of thousands of dollars every year. Some of those folks that, you know, have been living with the disease a little bit longer. Or worse yet, those folks who are battling many diseases. But it's a hard fact and a hard reality that people have to face, that if you have heart disease or any other pre-existing conditions, we have to make choices. And we can't just, you know, because I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat, you have to look at their policies and make those choices. So.
Now, how long is the election? How long now is it? I should know this. How long?
November 4th, 2 weeks away.
2 weeks away, and that's a Tuesday?
2 weeks
so
from Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday, okay. So
yeah,
you know what,
what'd
you say?
Yep, 2 weeks from Tuesday. And a lot of places have opened up early voting. So if you can get out there and vote if you can and avoid those lines on election day.
You know, I was thinking since next Sunday, I just want to get this in before this is over because we're down to the last 5 minutes, but next Sunday we're going to have our featured blogger, Terry, who's in the chat room now. He's going to call in, and we're going to give him a little bit of a mini-interview and talk about some of his great posts because he posted a lot about his story and about, like, where he came from and where how he got to where he is today. And he brought up some great topics about how HIV is not really educated thoroughly in the deaf community and things like that. So that's going to be next week. But I was thinking the week before that, November 2nd, which is the Sunday before the election, maybe we should have do a little research on the two candidates, or the three candidates, and you know,
three
and have. Well, there's that Nader guy.
Yeah, we don't talk about Nader. A vote for Nader is a vote for McCain. So no.
So I figured we could do a show on those. You know, on at least Obama and McCain. Obviously, they're the two that everybody are obviously going to probably vote for, but. We should talk about maybe how they view and their, you know, their structure for HIV and AIDS and the medication and stuff like that down the line on two Sundays. What do you think?
Well, here's an interesting thought on that is neither one of them have come out with a really solid HIV, AIDS HIV plan. At least I haven't been able to find anything on either one of them. But I think that's definitely a good goal. That we can try to look for, but
yeah, we'll try to have a little bit of a, you know, political topic.
Oh well, I can go on and on and on about that.
Well, that'll be good. We'll keep that for another show. You know what I mean? Keep the listeners wanting more.
Oh, and here's another thing. But we gotta take care of each other. I mean, as Americans. As a country, we have to take care of one another because, you know, we are a country of immigrants. We are a country of individuals. We're a huge, huge country. So we have to take care of each other. We're
right.
Each other's neighbor. We, you know, our brothers, our sisters. And we need to do that. And
definitely.
And you know, and yeah, I'm willing to get out there and work with our neighbors and you know, the folks in our communities to make sure that everybody has health care. You know, that and that our economy stays strong. So that's so important.
I absolutely agree.
Rob,
so we'll pick
I'm sorry,
that,
I said I lost you.
No, we'll pick up that topic, like I said, two Sundays, November 2nd. We'll try to touch base on a little bit on the political candidates and their you know, their AIDS plan and what they plan to bring to the table if we can find some good information on it. One of the topics, we're down to the last, like, minute, so I just wanted to remind everybody that you can learn more about me at PozIM.com. You can join the PozIM community and create a profile like MySpace or Facebook and meet people that are infected and affected. And you can learn more about Jeremy by going to Positively Speaking, Positively with a Z.com, PositivelySpeaking.com. And I want to thank everybody who went on the Philadelphia AIDS Walk today, Linda, Tracy, and Teresa. It was a great time meeting you all. And I just think that, Jeremy, I'm really digging the show. How about you? I think it's fun. I'm having a hoot.
Woohoo! I think the show is great, and I would like to thank everybody who walked today, in the AIDS walk, because it's not just those of us who are living with the disease, but it's everybody who's affected. So, thank you all for who walked. I for one appreciate it.
Right, there's 30,000 people in Philadelphia that are living with HIV, so sure, all of them thank you too. So for everyone else, you have a good night, and Jeremy, I will talk to you on Sunday.
Wonderful. Have a good evening and have a great week.
You too. Good night.
Good night.